Hello and welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast.
Welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast with your host, Amrit Sander. So today I'd like to talk to you about imposter syndrome. Two words that actually are very debilitating for some people, imposter syndrome. You know, this whole focus of somehow questioning our abilities, feel like we're fraudsters, we're going to get found out, and somehow thinking that everything we've achieved, any success has been down to chance or luck, nothing about our capabilities or our experience, but we just got lucky. And one day someone's going to find out that we're not that good. Now, according to psychologists, 70% of us have suffered from imposter syndrome at some stage in our lives. That's a lot of people. And that's a lot of instances of imposter syndrome. Now, if you're a CEO, a senior leader in an organization, a senior manager, it's understandable the extra stresses and strains you might be experiencing. On one hand, having to lead people. On the other hand, in the quiet recesses of your mind, questioning your abilities and hoping people don't find out that you're not very good, or certainly your perception is that you're not very good. I want to take a step back though. Imposter syndrome, two words. Very interesting. Now, back from my medical background, you know, my pharmacy days, I used to hate people coming into the pharmacy having pre-assigned labels to themselves. You know, they'd come in saying, oh, I think I've got this condition or I think I've got that condition. And I'd have to take a step back and say, okay, I hear what you're saying. Let's just go through some of those symptoms, shall we, to understand what condition you have. But whenever you hear the word syndrome, it implies a medical condition. It implies there's something wrong with you. So when we start saying imposter syndrome, well, immediately we're telling our brains there's something wrong with us. Actually, as human beings, having self-doubt is normal. Questioning our abilities is normal, but we seem to have made this into a much bigger thing. If we look at the medical definition of a syndrome, it's a set of symptoms or conditions that occur together and suggest the presence of a certain disease or an increased chance of developing the disease. While we're not suffering from a disease, there's nothing wrong with us. What are those conditions that or the symptoms that occur together? Well, self-doubt, fear, I don't know, all the things that you would have in uncertainty. As human beings, we put ourselves into positions of uncertainty all the time because we want to push boundaries, we want to grow, we want to develop. But yet, somehow when we doubt ourselves in this way, we assign it a label of imposter syndrome. Anyway, I'm going to move on from that. So that in itself is a word that I think isn't helpful. But in terms of this questioning ourselves, where did imposter syndrome come from? Well, it was first identified in 1978 by psychologists Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes. They had a paper where they theorized that imposter syndrome was isolated to purely women. We know now that actually men or women, it doesn't make any difference. Our brains are the same, and therefore any of us can have the ability to questioning our abilities. Questioning whether any success we've gained was down to chance or luck rather than anything to do with me as an individual. And, you know, if you think about the patterns of people that it tends to affect, particularly perfectionists or experts or people who have been told that they're naturally very good and then find that, you know, work becomes hard. But any of us can suffer from imposter syndrome. So what can we do with imposter syndrome? I remember when I was a child, and forgive me, I'm going to keep relating this back to my own experiences because a lot of this I can really relate to. When I was a child, I was debilitatingly shy. And I struggled to interact with people. I struggled to build relationships. I struggled to go out on my own because I was in this position of fear that I just wanted to be invisible. And I mean, should anything of positive, you know, happen to me, anything positive, I would never have assigned it down to my abilities or my skills. Luck, chance. As I've grown older, though, and certainly as I was growing older, I realized something started to change in me. And it was when I got to university that questioning my abilities, my self-worth, my confidence began to change when I started to learn. And I found that, you know, my competence in certain areas increased. That led to an increase in confidence, which then certainly minimized the imposter syndrome that I might have been feeling. And so when you think about imposter syndrome, there's certainly two things I found that can really help with this. One is competence. How can we develop a level of competence so we can develop skills and knowledge in the area we're focused in on, so that we don't doubt ourselves? We know what to do in a situation. And then how can we develop some confidence in our abilities? And that comes with experience. So can I gain some experience in certain areas? I remember once when I did a first aid course. And when you do a first aid course and you learn CPR, you hope one day you never have to use it. And one day I did have to use it. It was a big gathering, and I heard people running saying, is there a doctor in the house? Does somebody know anybody who can do CPR? And my brain went into automatic pilot. And I desperately tried to help this man. And for 20 minutes, we gave him CPR. And by the time the paramedics arrived, he passed away. There was nothing more we could do. But I remember at the time not questioning my competence or my confidence. I'd learnt enough to be able to not allow my brain to go into overdrive and questioning whether I was going to be good enough or what I was going to do. There was no thought that went into it. I went into automatic pilot. And I think some of the times when we're at work, and forgive me for using that analogy, but at work, I know it's very different. But we end up overthinking things to see whether, or questioning whether, are we good enough? Can I do something? Rather than just diving in and doing it. If we think we haven't got the level of competence, well, what can we do to develop our competence? Do I need to go on a course? Do I need to shadow somebody? Do I need to work alongside somebody? Do I need to have a mentor? What can we do to help minimize the question of our competence? And if it's a lack of experience that's impacting my confidence, then how can I gain some experience? Can I go again, work alongside somebody? Can I gain some more knowledge or skills? What can I do to learn more so I've got some more experience, so I feel more confident doing what I'm doing? Those two things are really important, I think, for this whole thing about questioning our self-worth, questioning our abilities, and assigning any success down to, you know, chance or luck. When we think about work or something that we're not confident in, it's natural to overthink it. The challenge with overthinking things is that we then create narratives or stories or things of all the potential pitfalls of what could happen. I came across a really good quote by Suzy Kassam, who's a writer, poet, a psychologist, philosopher. And her quote was, "Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will." That overthinking, that questioning and doubting, to the extent where we've sort of backed ourselves out, you know, we've talked ourselves out of doing something. That is, I think, the issue that we're all trying to face here. How can I minimize that self-doubt? How can I stop the overthinking before it then impacts on my actions? And how can I just throw myself in a way that, you know, at what point do we say I've learned enough? At what point do we say I know enough? Sometimes the very act of throwing yourselves in will give you the confidence to say, actually, I'm good at something or not. It's interesting. We judge ourselves, but against what standard, against what measure, you know, that are we then holding ourselves accountable that says we're not good enough? Often that measure or standard doesn't exist, but our narrative has just talked us out of doing something because we felt we weren't good enough. There have been times when I've questioned my own abilities, only to then attend something else with somebody else, thinking, is that considered good? I could do a better job than that. Now, how many times have we all done that? When we've been told that this is what good looks like, and only for us to walk away thinking, I could have done a better job. But up until that point, we questioned ourselves, we doubted ourselves. We would never have put ourselves forward for something, thinking, well, I'm not capable. I think one of the things we need to accept is that whatever I do today, it won't be perfection for tomorrow. But it was good for today. Over time, we can always improve. Look at anything, look at any product or service out there. It only gets better. And so rather than the time we spend analyzing and reviewing and questioning, actually, are we at a place where that we can feel at peace with ourselves to say, that's a good job? And what would it take? And often we need to take time out to understand the parameters. At what point will I be happy to say, that's a good job? I know in a year or two's time, it won't be considered a good job, but for today, that's going to be a good job. I think actions like that can go a long way towards minimizing this whole questioning ourselves, questioning our capabilities. Are we good enough? If we can have some internal measures, because often, you know, certainly if you're a CEO, if you're a leader of an organization or a senior leadership team, there'll be very few people there to praise you. And so we need to have some internal measures ourselves to say, okay, at what point will I be really pleased? And when they happen, take time out to celebrate. If we don't do it, who will? So this whole thing about questioning ourselves, you know, fraud element, it's about reframing this. I'm not saying reframing it as a, you know, gimmick in a way where we're just pretending somehow. I'm talking about, you know, genuinely looking at the situation and reframing it. Genuinely saying, how much am I overthinking this? And how will I know? By throwing ourselves in, that's the only time we're really going to know whether we're good enough. Up until that point, I'm just questioning whether I'm good enough. It's a bit like children. You know, if you ask them if they're very good at playing the guitar or the piano, they'll often say, I don't know, I've never tried. And this links nicely to growth mindset as well. Is how can we then start to question ourselves when we've never tried something? Or if we're spending too much time analyzing or overthinking whether we're good enough. Anyway, so look, imposter syndrome. I'm sure many people out there have suffered. I know I have many, many times throughout my life, my career. But you get to a stage where you become at peace with yourself. I'll never get it always right. My intent is good. I mean well. And I've worked bloody hard to do the research. So at what point am I going to sit there praising myself and just saying, job well done? Because it isn't always down to chance or luck. Often, more often, it's down to the hard work we put in. And I want to remind you of that quote by Susie Kazem. Doubt kills more dreams than failure ever will. How much are you overthinking? And let's just get out there and do what we need to do. Let the world take care of the rest. So, imposter syndrome. If anybody's interested, we do have some videos we made with Professor Daryl O'Connor on imposter syndrome through Expert Insights, and we've got various other things that we can help with. So please contact us if you want any support. But imposter syndrome, 70% of the population out there have suffered from imposter syndrome at some point. But this is really down to overthinking. If we've got issues of questioning our competence, our confidence, experience, knowledge, skills, let's get that nailed. But after that, it's just down to us and talking ourselves out of something, as opposed to just doing something. That's all from me today. Amrit Sander from The Engagement Coach. Please join me again next week. More topics, views, thoughts, comments on employee engagement, leadership development, culture development, and everything else in between. Take care.
The Engagement Coach Podcast.